Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another broadcast of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is Friday Night Joy. I'm Reverend Ray. I'm joined by Reverend Robin White. Amen today. Reverend Robin, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Bless the Lord. This is a mighty good day that we're celebrating today.
Amen. It is. It's Friday, of course. This is Good Friday. Amen. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I know Reverend Robin is ready, and I thank God for giving me some words today. My topic I wanted to just touch on a little bit, and then we can probably go whatever direction the Lord is leading us, but the power of the blood. We're talking about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the resurrected Savior. So we're going to get into that, get into some scriptures. And especially during this day and time, Robin, that we live in now, with all the craziness going on now and the testing and the blood testing and all the stuff that's going on now, we need to know that where's the power at. And the power is in Christ Jesus. The power is in the blood. Amen. And let's not forget the season, the reason for the season that we're in now. And it seemed to almost somewhat get pushed to the back about the fact that we're celebrating Resurrection weekend, and of course today is Good Friday, and all the things that took place during this week, during the Passover week, and the meaning of different things. So, you know, sometimes we need to get back to the basics, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of storms and things being said, and the enemy is going to always be roaring like a lion and causing chaos, but we know who and whom we believe. Amen. So with that being said, I'm going to go and open up in prayer, and then we'll get started. Amen. Father God, we come today to thank you for your many blessings. We give this broadcast to you and pray that you would come and have your way. Holy Spirit, we pray for those that are listening online and through the social media and different sites, God. We pray for even those that may be listening from different countries, God. For those that have lost loved ones because of the virus and going through some things, or maybe sick, we even pray and lift them up to you, God. We pray and we know that you all have all healing in your hand, Jesus. So we pray today for the healing of the land, for the healing of souls, but we also pray for the salvation of souls, that people may, if we have those that have did wrong, we repent, and those that don't know you will seek after you more, God. We pray that we will be the salt, light, and power that you have declared us to be, Holy Spirit. We can't do this by ourselves. We need you. We realize that more than ever, every breath that we take is only because of you. So, again, I thank you for Reverend Robin joining us today. We give this broadcast to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Real quick, I want to go and let you know about our other broadcast. Here's Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Fence Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Of course, Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray and Friends is Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Reverend Ray is the first Sunday and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge for Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Vina Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin. Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwane is every third Monday of the month. at 7 p.m. Madge Takeover, the Body at One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson, at every fourth Sunday, at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elston Green, Cleopas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. And our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. Well, all of this information can be found on our website, which is WhenChristensSpeak.com, or our Facebook page. Amen. If you'd like to get in contact with me or any of the other hosts, amen, you can do so by going to WhenChristensSpeak@gmail.com. WhenChristensSpeak@gmail.com. Again, check out our website. Amen. We got a lot of information out there. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, Robin, first of all, before we get started, I want to say thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate you coming on and everything. And we know that God is going to speak mighty through both of us. Amen. We know that God has birthed some word in us. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
That's a lot. So how you doing?
Doing well. Just enjoying
well.
The quiet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the topic that I picked up is, again, was power of the blood. And the first place that I've been this week been Passover week. And I had posted a scripture on Facebook about when there was the judging was going on in Egypt, and God was sending the angel of death to smite the firstborn of the Egyptians, and he gave the Israelites instructions, you know, to put blood on it. Let me just read Exodus 12:12. Okay, it says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." It said, 13 says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are in. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." In other words, whoever was in the house was saved. When the angel came through and he saw the blood on the doorpost, amen, which is, he saw the blood on the door, meaning that we could be saved, you know. And that's so true in our lives today and everything, you know, that we, when Jesus died on the cross, and we're celebrating the death of Christ right now on today, this is Good Friday, amen, we had to think about the blood that he shed for us. You know, the Bible says that he died for the sins for the whole world, you know. But he still left a part that we still need to believe in him. Amen. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with him, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So he did it once, you know, in the days of the Old Testament, and even probably some Jews are still practice a lot of it and stuff like that. They would, the high priest would go behind the holies and holies, and he was, but before he goes, he would sacrifice blood. Help me, Robin. He would sacrifice blood for the sins of the people and everything. You know, he would cut off whether it be doves or whether it be blood of the goats and calves and all of that. Each one had a meaning to it. You know,
yeah.
And then he would go behind the holies, and they would tie a rope around him so that he had to make sure he was right. You know, but with the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us, you know, that gives us the opportunity to go behind the holy holies. That's why the veil was rent in half. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Robert. You good? Okay.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Verse 13, so, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling unclean sanctified to the purifier of the flesh, how much more should the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit with the big S, offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, we got it more blessed than ever now, because we're not only covered in the blood, but the blood is also in us. You know, the blood of Jesus has also in us and everything like that. So we shouldn't be worried. I mean, we should be concerned about what's going on in the world, the virus. You know, there's some wisdom there. We're not worried. We're not afraid. You know, we're not afraid of any of those things. It says, let me read on 15. Says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life. All this is for us, that we can receive eternal life. When Jesus was, the Bible talks about how he was beaten and how he was bruised and how they whipped him and how they did different things to him on tonight, and how they made him even carry his own cross, and they called him every name in a book, and how people scattered. They didn't want to even some of his disciples scattered, you know, because they didn't want to have anything to do with him and stuff like that. But he died. I remember in the scriptures said that he told Pilate, he said, you can't take my life. I give it away freely. Nobody can take my life. You know, he said, all I got to do is call for a legion of angels and they will come and rescue me and everything. But he willingly died for us, you know. And the, let me see where am I at. There's a scripture that talks about when he was in the garden and that how his blood, his sweat was a great drop of blood coming out of Luke. Actually, Luke 22, chapter 40 says, then when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that he enter not in temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. And there appeared an angel to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He said it was as great drops of blood. There was an anguish. There was a anticipation. Oh, he knew what he was facing, you know. But and this was just him by himself facing the cross. But to add all the sins of the world, all the sins of those that have committed sins since the beginning of time, had to be a heavy load. But he was willing to die. Okay, he was willing to shed his blood for you and me. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die for just the Jews or just the Christians or you know, he died for everybody, all of us. He died for us. He didn't have any respect for the rich and for the poor. For the rich and for the poor. For the meek, for those that they was a good person, for even the people that was bad. He died for everybody. He was willing to die on the cross to shed his blood so that we might live. He said in the scripture, no greater friend is one that will give up, and I'm paraphrasing, that will give up his life for a friend. No greater person is one that would give up his life for a friend. You know, he was willing to die. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to go through all that agony, you know, of being on the cross, all that agony, you know, amen, of being beaten and people mocking him. Why he's on the cross? If you be Elijah, come on down. Save yourself. You know, listen to all of that. You know, he was willing to do that for you and I. So that we can live and not die. You know, his purpose was to bring us back into right relationship with him. And to give him, that's why he's the answer and he's the key. Amen. That's why he's the answer, for he's the key. Amen. Do you have anything to add, Reverend Rodden?
Well, I just think that bless God for all that you have brought forth. And I just want you, when you speak on the Garden of Gethsemane, and you started off in Exodus, and how all of the priests that went behind the Holies of Holies had to go in with blood to purge, and only at that time they were only going in for an atonement. They weren't purging anything, but they went forth with blood to cover sins, because almost all things Scripture says by the law are purged with the blood. And it's just so interesting, and not only interesting, but par for the course of what has to happen, because we know Jesus has come not to obliterate the law, but to fulfill the law. And when you read through the Old Testament and all of the tabernacle things and everything that occurred, from every actual piece that was used in the building of the tabernacle is a foreshadow of Jesus' coming. And so when you think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was just as when those priests went back there, because Jesus came to be our high priest,
right.
They also had to go and have blood for themselves. So we saw all of the turmoil and all the anguish and the long hours of prayer that Jesus had to go through the night before of his crucifixion, and where he had to was sweating the great drops of blood, just because it says the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Right.
So he was getting rid of all of that flesh, because truly no flesh is going to come before the Father. So, he was dying. He was dying to himself, because he finally said, was already determined beforehand, before the foundations, that he would come and be this sacrifice. And so he says, if this cup be removed, but not my will, thy will be done. And that was it. He went forth with the plan. But he, too, had to put that flesh to death. And so when people start talking about what is the power in the blood, is that all sin, has to be purged by the blood. And God showed that so much through the tabernacle, and if you go through Leviticus, and it's so detailed and specific of what has to be done. But Jesus, his blood alone was the only blood that was necessary to be able to purge all of our sins, not just mine, not just Reverend Ray's, but sin of all mankind. And so when we look at that, we may think, he purged our sins, and internally we began to think of those wrong things that we've done, but it's not necessarily that. He came to die for sin, that sin that came and has just separated us from God. So it's not a matter of a act or anything like it is sin. Sin is nothing but that rebellion. And so he came to die for sin. I mean, if we began to think that, I read a great quote that says that we don't sin because we're sinners. We are sinners because of sin, and so we are born into sin. I mean, before you ever committed an act, you're born into sin. And it is that sin nature, it is that sin thing that Jesus came to die for. So because that is the thing that was separating us from God. And so when you see that he is going fulfilling the role of the priest, where he's going back there now, he can go through, he opens the way that we can all go. But when we look at Hebrews, and it begins to talk about Jesus and what he did and the power truly of that blood, is that it says that he was born the Son of God. Now, I'm in Hebrews 1, and it read, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And this was like, it was sometime, it wasn't like we can have the Holy Spirit speak with us at any time. This was sometime. It wasn't all the time. And it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. It says, who being the brightest of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Now, by himself, and you know there were all of these bulls and goats and lambs, but it was by himself he purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And what was that name that he obtained? It says in the next verse, in verse 5:15, it says that thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So he is the firstborn of many. And why was he able to be the firstborn of many? And why was it that his so much power in his blood? Because he is the Son of God. He came forth born of a virgin. You know, he came forth and it said, you know, this is in Luke 1:31 I'm going to at this point. And it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the most, of the highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Now this is the part right now that begins to make his blood so powerful. It says in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You see, the blood of man was already tainted. So Jesus could not come forth by the blood of any man. It could not be contaminated. He had to be the pure Son of God. And the angel answered, this is in 36, no, this is 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. You know, so what she's not even, she is becoming overshadowed. She is simply the vessel. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So here we have entering in that pure blood, untainted by man, that pure blood that's able to go forth and be so powerful to be able to remit all of our sin, to purge all of our sin. And I think one of the best parts that of this that it could accomplish in us that could not be accomplished in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was just an atonement. They had to come year after year because there was the continual remembrances of the wrong. There was no way that they could purge the consciousness of it. But it says that that blood of Jesus, and Reverend Ray has read it, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. See, that is the power of the blood of Jesus. That power of blood of Jesus is able to come forth and do an inner work within us that no calf or lamb or bull and all of those things that were done could ever do. You see, because now we have that opportunity to be born again by that eternal spirit, to be able to have the Holy Spirit work within us and purge our minds. And all of that can only have occurred by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, to be that blood that could go forth and be that sacrifice that was offered for our sin. because something had to die for sin, even with Adam and Eve in the garden when they did the first sin, which is that sin which came upon all of us, is that they had covered themselves with leave, but no, God had to kill an animal and give them animal covering because something has to die for sin. And that is what's so powerful about that blood of Jesus, is that he is the Son of God. So his blood is just that powerful. You know, and it said he is the first begotten into the world. The first. And so it is by that blood of Jesus I am saved, and I am saved eternally because his blood was good enough that it only had to happen one time, just one time, that shedding of his blood. And therefore, it made me to be able to, and you to be able to have eternal salvation. And that is just a blessed thing. You know, he knew he was born to be that sacrifice. He knew he was coming into the world simply to be that sacrifice. You know, and he says that no one has taken his life. He's given it. It says in John 10:17, he says, Jesus, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know, so he already knew what he was coming to do. He was going to lay down his life for us, so that we could be reconciled unto the Father, so that death could have no dominion over us, so that we could live confidently in our lives and in the life that we have with God, that no matter what, his blood has been powerful enough to save me and to save you. His blood is all that was needed, and he was willing to be that sacrifice. He was willing to go forth and be exactly what John the Baptist said in John 1:29. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All sin. No matter what the sin, he has taken away the sin of the world, where we don't have to be worried and concerned about whether or not we aren't going to be separated from God. You know, it says I've gone to 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have victory. Because of the power of his blood, we have victory because of his obedience. We have victory because he was forsaken and we were not forsaken. That was one of the last things he says, why hast thou forsaken me? See, Jesus had that brief time of forsakenness so that we would never be forsaken. And that was the entire purpose of his coming, to be our sacrifice, to be that for us, so that he would be forsaken, although briefly, even in those brief moments of separation, as he was being nailed to the cross, carrying all of our sins, not just the sins of that present moment for those who were there, but the past sins, that present sin, and the future sin. He is our propitiation for sin. That's why this is such a good Friday. You see, because he suffered so that we could live. It's such a good Friday that his blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. It is an awesome Friday. You know, he was on that cross, and that veil, as Reverend Ray has said, was torn apart so that we could go boldly before the throne, because we are covered in the blood of Jesus. That when God sees us, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees what Jesus has done, and that covering of the blood of Jesus allows us to go boldly before him, allows us to have a confidence in him, allows us to go that where our faith may fail, we know that Jesus did not fail in one thing that the Father gave him to do. So we can move in the faith of Jesus Christ, because his blood, the power of him being the Son of God, the power of knowing that he is not contaminated and was not contaminated by the blood of man, but he is truly the Son of the Most High God, the express image of him. You know, he is the one who was that. He is the Word, that creative Word that brought all things into being. He spoke it and it was. He yet speak and it is. That is the power that we have, that we have translated onto us. You know, because it says here, and Reverend Ray was reading there, that let me get to it. It's in Hebrews 9, and it says that I want to get it to you. Okay, I'm at 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So now you know, and we know that Jesus has come to fulfill all scripture, and we know that the old tabernacle was just a foreshadowing of him. And so we know that when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, they waited for him to come back. They waited for him to come back. They waited for him to come back because in his coming back, they knew that the blood that he had taken in with him was accepted. So we have a greater confidence in Jesus because his blood is a pure blood. So we can look towards him and look towards his coming, and we can know that our salvation in eternity is secure because he was the sacrifice, and he was the sacrifice, and he went forth as the sacrifice, as the only and the first begotten Son of the Father.
Right.
So we can have a confidence in him. It's just awesome what he's done for us and how special and how important today is because he shed his blood for us. Him who knew no sin became sin.
Amen.
So that we could live. He died and I received life. You received life. So that we don't have to go through being fearful of death. We don't have to go forth and be in any type of fear or any type of anxiety or anxiousness, even during these times. Because, you know, he said that he went away to prepare a place for us. And that if he comes for us, we know that we're going to a place in him. So, you know, it says death, he came and just stole the power of death from us. Because as children of God, as believers of Christ, death has no hold on us. And that's all because of the power of the blood of Jesus. We can be so thankful. We can be so thankful unto Jesus, so thankful for this Good Friday. This Good Friday, because as Reverend Ray has already said, he could have called a legion of angels to come and rescue him from that cross. But he did not.
He did not.
He did not. Amen. He stuck to the plan that was already laid. He stuck to being that one that was called from Genesis, that Jesus, that God had said when he went forth and he dealt with that sin in the garden, and when that sin came upon us, he came forth to be exactly what God said. It was planned. As soon as the fall occurred, God had already a plan in store for man. Already had a plan in store. And so even at that time, you know, it was the entire Old Testament into the New Testament was the walk that Jesus was doing to reconcile man back unto God. It was a walk all that time.
Yeah.
All of that time. Jesus was already during that time, the entire lineage, if you just follow that entire lineage to come forth. It was Jesus coming forth. It was Jesus coming forth to do exactly what he said. And I want to get you the scripture that he said until the woman. And it said, and this is Genesis 3:15. And he says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, and so, but it came forth. That was that seed right there in Genesis 3:15. You can say that right there was the beginning of the New Testament. You can say that right there that was the beginning of Jesus coming forth to come forth and bruise and crush and just totally crush the enemy. The enemy no longer has a hold upon us. Jesus on this Good Friday set us free. All we have to do is call upon him and accept him as the Son of the Most High God. And our sin is forgiven, totally forgiven. That is the good news of the gospel, is that Jesus has come that we can have freedom. He has come to set us free. And we know that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So that is the power, that is the power of the blood of Jesus. Never forget that there is power. Power, what is, I know Reverend Ray knows this song, power
it's
in
power.
That blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know the song, you know that old hymn. Power,
oh, yeah. Power, power.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Because it's a pure, it's a holy blood. It's a blood that was Holy Ghost ignited and started to run through the veins in the womb of Mary.
Right, right. Yeah. It wasn't your regular blood.
It's not your blood.
That's your normal type of blood, though. No. Yeah.
No. So we bless God for the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross for us.
Amen.
You know, that, you know, it is his power that secures our salvation, and it's the power of that blood that gives us a kinship. So he was the firstborn, but now we are now many sons and daughters, but Jesus was the firstborn. But now by his blood coming forth and just crushing the head of the enemy, that we can now be reborn in the spirit and come forth in our kinship with the Father. And you know, and the awesome thing about this is that we know that Jesus came to be the lineage of David. And it is so, the word of God is just so awesome, because we know that Joseph adopted Jesus. because he knew Jesus was not his son. He knew that Jesus came from God. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God. But the awesome thing of that, it is the same with us, that now we can come in and we can be adopted in, you know, because we were the Gentiles.
That's right.
So we can be adopted in, and we can say, Abba, Father, because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen. So we've been grafted in. Amen. I want to, as you was talking, Robin, I was thinking about the scripture coming from Isaiah chapter 53. And of course, all of that is good, but I want to start at the fifth verse because it touches on what you were talking about in Genesis. And it says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, you know, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are here. When I look at those words, bruised, we may call, bleeding, you know, wounds, of course, cause bleeding. And if I'm not mistaken, I think bruising causes internal bleeding in some cases and everything. But verse 6 says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, he said, verse 7 said, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and shall declare, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken. He was, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, it says, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He was bruised, you know, for us, man. You know, everything that we're facing, everything that we're going through, Christ probably did it all. The sin that he last stand, he said, it's finished.
It's finished.
Which means it's completed. And it means that the blood and the cost was already paid. We can't do anything extra about that. It's already done. You know, it's already done. You know, when he died on the cross for us and when he shed his blood, you know, it shook up the heavens. In my notes, it says that that some of the graves of those that went on open up. It opened up, man. So the earth, there was earthquakes and all this kind of thing taking place, you know, all because of Jesus Christ. Because what he did was beyond anything that we could comprehend. We'd never be able to completely comprehend what he did on the cross. You know, we'd never be able to completely comprehend that all the power and the glory it took. But not only that, the fact that he rose up. You know, so we can't talk about his death and not talk about his resurrection. You know, the fact that he rose up.
Amen.
He got up out of the grave. He's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave and everything. In fact, he's coming back one day. As Robin was saying earlier, he's coming back. You know, and what would he see when he come back? You know, one of the things I liked about when was the teaching of Pastor Robinson is that he was, when Jesus come back, the Bible says he's coming in the twinkling of an eye, and every eye shall see him. And the thing that I always liked about that scripture is that, well, how would he recognize his own? He's going to recognize his own because we look like him, not in our physical appearance, but because of the blood, you know, because of the blood of Jesus, you know, because of the spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know, I believe that's how he can recognize who's here. He can know who belongs to him and who doesn't. He'll know which one's been faking it and all that kind of stuff, just playing church and going through the motions. He'll know all of that. at that point is when I believe the scripture talks about separating the wheat from the tare. Separating the wheat from the tare.
Amen.
Yeah. So amen. I mean, his blood, man. We have to live our life to the point of knowing that no matter what, we're covered under his blood. If he decides that this is our last day or whatever and stuff, we're still covered under the blood. That, you know, to be absent. What is the scripture, Robin?
The absent is to be present with the Lord.
With the Lord. You know, so that's why we as believers shouldn't even fear this kind of stuff, you know, because the grave don't have no victory and the death doesn't have any sting. And I probably said it backwards, but there's nothing there. It's been taken away. It's been taken away and everything. So our task is to live like we got the blood of Jesus, not only on us, but within us. Because Robert was talking about earlier that we have been adopted, you know. We have been grafted into the tree of Abraham.
Family.
So all the promises apply for us. You know, I might not be a Jew in relationship, but I'm a Jew when it comes to the blood of Jesus Christ. You know,
amen.
I'm a Jew when it comes to him and everything like that. He don't treat me any different. I'm glad that we've been grafted in, because otherwise we would have lost people, man. I'm glad that he died for the sins of the whole world, all the world, you know, that we might have a right to the tree of life, you know, that we might be able, man, to be like, oh, God, thank you. You know, you have mercy on me, but I didn't even have mercy on myself. You know, Jesus, you died on the cross for me 2,000 some years ago when I wasn't even thinking about you, when I wasn't even born. while I was yet in my mother's womb, before I was born, you was thinking about me. How awesome is that, man? Go ahead, Reverend Robin.
Yeah, and in Hebrews 2:9, beginning at 2:9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor." That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, can you imagine? That's the grace of God to taste death. I mean, if we just stop sometimes with those scriptures, some of the things, and it's like, for he, by the grace
of God,
should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto them. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given. You know, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, because Jesus was flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, and that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham.
Wow.
See, he took on the children of Abraham. He died for us. So, I mean, it's just so awesome. You know, and Reverend Ray read the other scripture that it pleased God to suffer, to see him suffer. And Jesus went willingly as a sheep to suffer.
Yes.
So that we would live and would not have to suffer. so that we would live and not be forsaken, so that we would live and not be in fear but in peace, so that we would live and be and have power to endure this earth. Because he tells you, you're in the world, but you're not of it. So that power that he gives us is to know and trust in who he is, in the surety of who he is, that just as surely as he went away, he's coming back for us. And just as surely as he expediently, the word says, went away, that he sent us a comforter to stay with us, to be with us, to teach us, to train us, to convict us, to reveal the word and to reveal more of him. Because the word said to know God is eternal life. So he's covered us on all bases. And he did that by dying on the cross and the shedding of his blood. How powerful is his blood? Beyond anything in our minds will be able to even imagine, let alone hold. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is.
Yeah.
Put it on post. In your prayer time, you cover all of your family members' post of their homes. And know for sure that nothing, nothing is greater than the blood of Jesus. This coronavirus isn't greater than the blood of Jesus. It in itself is a defeated foe.
Yeah.
Because we're going to cover, let's cover our family members. Let us truly go and humbly before the Lord and say, this is our only way of living and not dying, is if we're covered in the blood of Jesus, that we're covered in the Son of the Most High God, that we are covered in him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. We're almost out of time. I think about 8 minutes. Amen. But this is an awesome word. Thank you again, Reverend Robin. Amen. This is much needed, man. You know, there's people not have the ability to, people probably won't be in church here on Sunday. Some churches, I know, the many churches I know that are doing a lot of online. There are others that's, you know, threatening to open up in a way. I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just, my prayer for you that you will be safe. Amen. Easter, I mean, Resurrection Sunday is not about all the bunnies and chocolate and dressing up and every kind of. In fact, this is a time that I think that God wants us to reflect on him. I mean, I think all this, he desires for us to spend more time with him. You know, sometimes we just get busy just being busy, you know, doing church stuff, working and everything else, you know. But now at this time, I mean, everybody should be in their own house, you know, having their own Bible study within their house if they can, you know, and if they have family or kids or whatever, their own study time. So I thank God for that. Amen. I thank God for those that the media sometimes don't talk about, the people that have been healed, you know.
Amen.
A lot of times, you know, you don't hear about all we hear. A lot of times all we hear about all the deaths and who got sick. But there are people being healed completely, you know, and everything. And their life has changed, you know, and everything. So we got to look at that. God is still doing miracles in this world. Even though the enemy is raging, God is still God. He hasn't changed, you know. He hasn't changed anything about him. Amen. So we are grateful to him. And we give all the honor and glory to him. We submit ourselves unto him. Amen. Reverend Robin, you want to close us out?
Bless the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God. Father, we just acknowledge, Lord God, your sovereignty, Lord God. We acknowledge, Lord God, how great and how awesome you are, Lord God. Father, we acknowledge your creative power, Lord God, that with your spoken word, Lord God, that there is a response, Lord God, and creation occurs, Lord God. So, Father, we come right now in the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God. First of all, thanking you for him. Thanking you, Lord God, that you would send us your seed. Send us your only begotten son, Lord God, that we shall live and not die, Lord God.
Yes,
Father,
God.
We take confidence in Jesus Christ right now, Lord God. We take confidence, Lord God, in his power, Lord God. We take confidence, Lord God, in the power of his blood, Lord God. We take confidence in his word that's able to go forth and change, Lord God. His word that's able to go forth and produce life out of a mess, Lord God. Father, we take confidence in who you are. Our trust, Lord God, is not in ourselves, Lord God, but our trust is in you, Lord God. Father,
yes.
You, Lord God, this coronavirus, Lord God, have made yourself to be seen as omnipotent and omniscient as you are, Lord God, because, Lord God, you, Lord God, know all things, Lord God. This has not come upon you as a surprise, Lord God, for you are Alpha and you are Omega, Lord God, so you know all things in between, Lord God. So, Father, just as those people, those Israelites, Lord God, before they were allowed to get out of that bondage they were in, Lord God, how they came together as families, Lord God, put that blood post on, closed the door, and just came in there as family, believing, Lord God, believing, Lord God, your word that had come through from Moses, as if that blood is on your post, you shall not die, but you shall live, Lord God. So, Father, we come right now, Lord God, putting that blood upon the post,
yes,
of
God,
all of your children, Lord God, upon the families, Lord God. And, Father, we are inside, Lord God, knowing that we are safe because you have said so, because you have said, put the blood on the post. That blood is powerful enough to keep you. Put that blood on the post and you shall live. So, Father, we thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you for your word because your word is our comfort, Lord God. We thank you for your word because your word is true, Lord God. We thank you for your son, Lord God, because he has already won the victory over death, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We stand, Lord God, we stand and we contend for our faith right now in the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God. We are not going to let any coronavirus come and steal our faith, Lord God, because
yes,
we stand in who you are. We stand trusting in who you are. We stand in knowing your character, Lord God. We stand in knowing your power, Lord God, the power of healing, Lord God, the power of salvation, Lord God, the power of peace, Lord God. Father, we stand in the power of your love, knowing that you have loving, tender mercies towards us, Lord God. So, Father, we stand, Lord God. We will stand in our faith, Lord God, and we shall
yes.
not sway, Lord God. And we will believe to see, Lord God, that your hand move, Lord God. So it's in Christ Jesus' name that we do pray right now. We pray knowing that you hear our prayers. And we pray knowing, Lord God, that you are already moving on the behalf of your children, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, for that gift of help, Lord God, that you've placed
yes.
into all of our paramedics, our EMT, our nurses, Lord God, all of the doctors, Lord God. That is a gift that you've given them to want to help, Lord God. So, Father, we lift them up unto you right now, Lord God, that even though they may not have all the supplies that they need, but you, Lord God, are their covering, much more better than a mask, Lord God. But we pray that you would cover them, Lord God, as they tend to those who are sick and those who are hurting, Lord God. Father, we lift up those who have actually lost family members and who are grieving, would be a comfort unto them, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank you because we know that you are all things to all men, Lord God, because you said you are I am. So whatever your people stand in need of at this time, Lord God, we pray that you would be the I am unto them, Lord God. So we just praise you, we magnify you, we exalt you, we give you the highest praise of hallelujah, Lord God, and we just thank you, Lord God. We standing. The joy of the Lord shall be our strength. And what is our joy? Our joy in knowing your character and knowing that you are not a man that you shall lie and that you will never leave us nor forsake us and that you are covering us in your wings. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we do pray and say amen and amen.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin, for awesome prayer, awesome broadcast. Thank you for joining us tonight, Reverend Robin. I really appreciate you. Amen.
Oh,
and I pray that you have a blessed rest of the evening. And amen. And I know that we'll talk later and stuff like that. But I just want to let people know, man, you know, that this is the time. Take serious the things of God and to recognize who you are. Amen. So be blessed. Be blessed. The power of the blood, the power of Jesus Christ,
amen,
is there for
Hallelujah.
You. Amen. The power
amen.
Of Jesus Christ is there for you. You don't have to do this alone. He's there stretching with arms wide open. Amen. Don't be afraid. Just trust him. Trust God. God bless you. God bless you, Reverend Robin. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.